Good evening. I'm glad that the Hughes have made it back to us and that they had made that trip again to Port Arthur, and you know they got to be tired. But it's good to see them. They made it back safely to us. I'm glad that we can all be here tonight for our worship services. We are continuing our series on contrasting characters. And of course, you remember last Sunday evening we talked about Orpah versus Ruth and found some very interesting things there in our study. And we're going to go to the New Testament for our next study of contrasting characters. And it's of course going to be the unthankful 9 lepers versus the 1 thankful leper. Or you can shorten it up, the 9 versus the 1. And so as you look at Luke chapter 17 is actually where you find our text. Once again, these series of contrasting characters are very simple lessons. We're going to talk about three points mainly to each one of these. If you go to Luke chapter 17, we're going to notice there in verses 12 through 19, our text goes on to say in verse 11, "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go show yourselves to the priest.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and says, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?' In verse 19, 'And he said to him, Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" There's a lot of interesting things that we find in that text of Luke 17 and verses 12 through 19. And as you think about 10 lepers, all are cleansed, but only one returns to give thanks. This is one that we've studied before in the past several times, and it always sticks out that way, and especially the way that Jesus talks about this individual, one who is a Samaritan, one who is described as a foreigner. It's very interesting to think about what Jesus is saying regarding these individuals. A Samaritan, a foreigner, except this one. It actually speaks volumes, especially when you think about the leprosy of the time. I know that I never have run into a leper. You might remember the lesson that we have done, that we did, and it's been a while back, but called the Untouchables. And we went through, and matter of fact, if you look at Numbers 13 and 14, there is so much depth to what a leper had to go through, how they were alienated from their family, from their friends, and all of that, because we know that they were considered to be what? Unclean. And as you think about that, and imagine the plight of the leper in first century Palestine, because leprosy, as we recall, was a slow-moving disease that drastically distorted, disfigured even, the skin and body of its victims. not a pretty sight to think about, obviously. And so the effects of an incurable physical appearance were humiliating. The skin became scaly, and eventually parts of the body would begin to deteriorate, and even to the point where it would just fall off. You think about infections that set in. We know how important, you know, it is that we wash, that we clean. Like we get some kind of scrape or something happens to us, we got to keep it cleansed. We're so thankful for what? Neosporin. It's amazing how we can use those kind of things and save us from scars or whatever else. These people didn't have that, right? We're talking about this disease that was absolutely humiliating. And in its most advanced stages, fingers and toes might be missing. Cartilage in the ears and nose would break away. It's an absolute horrible sight. And yet, as we've talked about before, adding insult to injury, the lepers were not allowed to stay inside walled cities. And that, once again, takes us back to our Numbers chapter 13 and 14. Once again, just to get this again in our study, because when you think that 10 lepers who are suffering with the same disease, all of them are cleansed, and only one comes back, that's kind of a sad situation. But in Numbers, that's what it tells us about the type of problems that they faced. And I think it's one of those horrible, Numbers chapter 13, you think about the law of purification is actually where I'm going with that, about the going to the priest and having them heal them, or not rather heal them, but to make them or state that they have been clean, is a very huge process that they had to go through. And sometimes you would consider that although they're having to make these being separated and apart from their family and from being around all the things, especially we think about the type of worship, it's very sad. And we would definitely, I know it's probably hard for us to actually put ourselves in their situation, but they were cast out of highly populated areas and to remote villages. And I think y'all remember the one that I talked about before about the leper colonies. And to make matters worse, they had to constantly warn others of their disease. You find in the days of old that they had to say, unclean, unclean. They were not permitted to engage in the embrace commonly found in salutations of their culture. Thus, physical compassion was an impossibility, and lepers were viewed as first century castaways. I guess you could put it that way. So, understanding the sad state of affairs for the leper can actually help increase understanding our text of Luke chapter 17. Jesus heals the lepers of their leprosy. Very basic. And notice that Jesus could heal an exterior disease, not just interior problems. So we ask that question again: what would you expect their reaction to be? With this knowledge of the things that they had to go through, the things that they had to the process, what would you expect their reaction to be? We would say happiness. We would say relief, right? Those are words that come to mind. And you would think thankfulness. Yet only one leper returns to thank Jesus and show his gratitude, and the other nine actually continue heading back to the priest. Once again, as the old law, they had to show themselves to be clean so that they could be deemed clean and they could return back into the walled city so they could be returned back to their, we'd say, a better life for them, not being separated and apart from their people. But the return of only one leper actually prompts a question. And you know what the question is again? Where are the nine? Where did they go? You know, if you think about something, I mean, I've never healed anyone. Ever. But you think about it. Jesus healed them of such a loathsome disease, and only one shows up? We know how it is that, you know, you do something, you know, in our minds, we're not supposed to just sit there and be like, oh, I hope they thank me, you know. But in our minds, you know, that's always a nice thing to do. You know, when somebody says something nice for us, what do we say? Well, I was always taught from being a little kid, my parents are always like forcing you, say thank you, you know, that kind of thing. And you're like, thank you. You know, when you're a kid, you're like, okay, so what? You know, you said thank you. But we understand what that means to someone. They didn't have to do it. Did Jesus have to heal them? No. We know what the proving the divine origin of the gospel message, which he was saying there. And he had, once again, he's always moved with compassion. You remember that when we talked about that in the Untouchable sermon? He was moved with compassion to help people. He said, I came to serve. Not to be served, but to serve. And that's the question that's prompted. And there's a significant lesson, or really three in the contrasting character here that we're going to talk about. There are some key differences between the one thankful leper and the nine unthankful lepers in this passage. There is a difference in the treatment of Jesus that you find between those two groups, or that one and the nine. They all came to him for help, but only one came back to him to praise. Only one. Some only want Jesus as a Savior, as he does something for them, but few want him as Lord, where they must do something for Jesus. We were talking about that this morning in the Bible class, weren't we? When the tables are turned, you know, would we consider Jesus faithful if he was as regular and consistent as I am with whatever avenue of life? We think about this relationship that we have with him. Do I talk to him as often as I ought to? Or do I only go to him when I need something? Am I only thankful to him when something turns out my way? Is that the way that I feel about it? You have several individuals throughout the Bible that have that kind of mentality. What is he going to do for me? And it's no different today. Our society is the same way. What am I going to get out of it? We talk about that in the Bible class as well. You know, we think about our physical jobs and what we have going on, what we want out of that job, although we do have to go to work from time to time. But I want that 401k. I want that good retirement plan. I want bonuses. I want Christmas off. I want, you know, all these kind of things. I want these holidays, holiday pay, whatever it is. But I have to put something into it, don't I? We sometimes say heaven is a retirement, but it's a retirement plan out of this world. You know? Literally. It's something that we're working for. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. We must do something for Jesus. We said that this morning in our lesson, our series, beginning our series of A Shepherd's Explanation of Psalm 23. Do we consider Jesus as our Lord and Shepherd? Do we love our Master? Do we pray to God during our problems and ignore Him in our prosperity? I think is a good question. Because if you go back and you look at Luke 17, what were they doing? They said, Jesus, Master. What did they want? What did they want from Him? They see Him, remember, afar off. Jesus, Master. They want to be healed. They're pleading with Him. They didn't want to live like that no more. And all of a sudden, they're healed. Jesus told them, you go to the priest. And they're cleansed. And one, you know, you could just see Him running back. You know, play it in your mind. How happy He was. Thrilled to come thank Him for what He has done. As Christians, I think sometimes that's the way we can be. That we many times forget that we were baptized putting off the old man of sin to arise and walk in newness of life, and we forget about the walking. We forget about the walking. When problems arise, we pray to God. But in times of prosperity where things are going great, we forget about Him. We don't ever want to forget where we've come from. That's something Paul didn't do, did he? He always remembered, I am the chiefest of sinners, he said. Man, he went out there and he talked bad about himself. But you know what? He didn't forget where he had come from. He had compassion on that very side. He didn't have a whole lot of times of prosperity, you know, as we would consider it, being persecuted and such. But when times were good, when he wasn't getting beat or stoned, was he still thankful? Absolutely. He had a perspective on life that we all need. How do we treat Jesus today, as Christians especially? We are gathered here this evening. How do we treat Jesus today? You remember when you come out of that watery grave of baptism, when you came up, what did you feel as you reflect? It felt wonderful, didn't it? You felt the zeal that just overtook you. How thankful we were praying to God that very evening throughout the week of salvation that He has provided for the love and desire that I have for His Word. But has the relationship, has it changed? Is my treatment of Christ, is it changing because of the things of this world that has started to put itself in between me and Him? Is it only times when the waters get rough that I say, Jesus, Master? Something to consider. Do I fall into the nine or do I fall into the one category there? I would also submit that, secondly, there's a difference in humility. Wouldn't you say? Absolutely. We said that's one that just sticks out because it takes an humble person to fall down on his face and give thanks. Doesn't it? That takes something for a person to do that. Some give themselves too much credit for their accomplishments, for what I have done, and are too busy to thank others for helping them succeed, or too proud to admit that they needed help. That's something that many times takes over. And we are told to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. You know, Paul many times said that in Philippians chapter 1. You see it in chapter 2 throughout his writings about the kind of mindset that we're supposed to have. It says that in verse 8 of Philippians chapter 2, just after he said in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Verse 6, who being in the form of God did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Humility, lowliness of mind, those are the words that strike us. Is that something that characterizes my life? Do you remember what Jesus said? Without me, you can do, what's that word? Nothing. Do I forget that from time to time? Do I forget what Paul told them in Acts chapter 17? Do you remember that? Sermon on Mars Hill? In him we live and move and have our what? Very being. If I keep that verse itself in my mind throughout the day, my whole day is going to be different. Because he decides everything. Everything is in his control. My life is in his control. And everything that he has given me, everything that I'm able to accomplish in my life, is because he's allowed me to continue in this world. In him we live, we move, and have our very being. I should be very humble before him. I should have that kind of mentality before him. And this leper is humble enough to take the time to thank the one who made it all possible to renew his life. There are some who can't even spend 30 minutes to an hour in a service, much less the remainder of the week, considering what he has done for their life. Now I want you to imagine what that would feel like if you were Jesus. We know when he walked upon this earth during his time of ministry how he felt about things. You remember that? And here he is today making intercession for us constantly. Am I thanking the one who's made it all possible that I have this day and I have seized this opportunity and tomorrow, and as long as he gives us these opportunities, that he has given us the word that we can renew ourselves daily. Daily we can renew ourselves. Inwardly, the newer man, the inward man is being renewed day by day as the outward man perishes, he says. Is that my mentality? Are we too proud? It reminds me also of that of which we find in the Gospels regarding the Pharisee and the publican. Remember him? The Pharisee was so proud. Thank you, Lord, that I am not... Well, he did say thank you. I mean, you got to give it to him on that, right? He did say thank you. But it was the wrong type of mentality there, where he says, thank you, Lord, that I am not as other men are, even as this publican. You know, that sends chills down your spine just thinking. I mean, he's talking to God. And he's thankful that I am not as other men are. He's just lifting himself up. Oh, and this publican over here, who wouldn't even lift so much as his eyes toward heaven, and he says, Father, forgive me, be merciful to me. And what did he identify himself as? A sinner. Humility. Do I have it? Do not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Remember Romans 12 and verse 3? Don't forget where we come from and what we are and should be doing. And last but not least, of Question: Have I become too busy, too prideful, forgetting where I've come from? A difference in their assurance. As only one out of the ten returns to thank Jesus, did you ever notice that his response is revealing? You ever think about that? How disappointed Jesus is in Luke chapter 17 in our text in the lack of thankfulness of some and impressed with the faith of this Samaritan leper. Of all people, the Samaritan. The lowest of lows, what they had their minds. Think about that. He is overly impressed with the faith of a Samaritan leper. But how many were cleansed? All of them were cleansed. Only one has the pleasure of knowing the cleanser is pleased with his faith. How do I view that? I've been cleansed. You've been cleansed. Having put off the old man, once again, to walk in newness of life. Put on the new man. Do we have the pleasure of knowing that the cleanser, Jesus, is pleased with our faith? Do we see that? If we do not continue to serve the Savior, how can we be sure he will not also be disappointed in us as he was with the nine? Think about that question. If we do not continue to serve the Savior, how can we be sure he will not be disappointed in us also as he was with the nine? I would ask, in such a simple lesson as this, how many times have I returned to the Lord? I'm not saying when, something bad has happened. I'm talking about throughout the week, how many times I've returned to Him, thanking Him for the day that He has provided. Not because it's just tradition that I wake up in the morning and I pray. I pray before dinner. I pray at night before I go to bed. Not a tradition, but a heartfelt thanks that I've returned to Him because of what He's done. How often do I return to the Lord and read His Word because I want to know what He wants me to do? Because I want to serve Him better than I did yesterday. The way in which we answer those questions there is going to say exactly which category we fall into tonight with the contrasting characters of the nine versus the one. Who do I fit in with? I certainly hope that we fit in with the one. That we are ever thankful. I look at that question that he says, were there not ten cleansed? But where are the nine? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way, thy faith has made you well. True that lepers were not allowed to stay inside the walled cities. My friends, we take this and we think about being outside of Christ and we fall away. Are we outside the walls of the city? The ark of safety, however you want to look at it in that view. Are we walking around with the realization that we are unclean, unclean, as in the days of old in which they had to do? Jesus is the great high priest who is able to cleanse us from everything. Not just the physical diseases that they were dealing with there, but with the spiritual diseases that we deal with this evening. As you get your psalm books ready and we bring our lesson to a close, it's a very basic lesson, obviously. But we go back to that question, what would you expect their reaction to be? When we read that account, we say happiness, relief, joy, thankfulness above all things, because they were dealing with that problem forever. But when I look at myself, am I any different? What is my reaction today? Well, may we be more like the one thankful leper, always praising Him during our struggles as well as in our times of prosperity, being humble, thankful for His constant love. Are we willing, are we living a life pleasing unto the Lord? Colossians 1 and verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Are we increasing in the knowledge of God? That's not a one-time deal, is it? I'm reminded of the scriptures of what Paul told those at Thessalonica. You might remember them as well. Pray without ceasing. You also remember what he says, giving thanks always. Rejoice always, evermore. Do we show that type of gratitude and love in our life to him? Once again, as we reflect on what he has done for us, that verse that we had mentioned earlier, it reminds me again of what he said of Philippians chapter 4 in verses 3 and 4. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Are we walking in that type of way? As he goes on to say in verse 20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. That's our Master. That's our Savior. If we are standing or walking away from Jesus with the nine that we talked about tonight, my friends, let us change that and be like the one and return to him. If there's something that's missing in our life and we need this song of encouragement, anyway, won't you come as we stand and sing a song that's been selected?
Have you been